Very special to me. So, it's from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, and it's taken from the NIVA. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me."
The second reading is from Luke chapter 5, and goes from verse 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him.
Let's pray for Wendy as she comes to speak. And as we listen, we're going to listen with our ears to Wendy, but let's tune the ears of our hearts to the Lord. Let's hear God speaking to us today. So, Lord, we pray, fill Wendy with your spirit and fill us too, that we might hear your true voice today, for Christ's sake.
It's wonderful to hear people sharing about things that God is doing in their lives. I wonder if somebody asked you, what is your calling? What is your vocation? What would you say? Normally when we meet people for the first time, it's not too long, and they ask us, what do you do? And we say, well, you know, whatever it is, I fix cars, I print, I cook, I whatever I'm doing. Some people who've retired will also say, well, actually, I'm retired now, and so I've taken on a new lease of life, and I'm doing painting, and I'm this, and I'm that as well. But if I ask you, what has God called you to do? It's a slightly different question, isn't it? Today, I want to focus on these two passages, Isaiah and Luke, And these look at the calling of Isaiah and of Simon Peter. They follow a similar pattern, but actually, of course, they took place in very different times and very different circumstances. So let's turn to Isaiah first. And by the way, thank you for choosing such appropriate songs, Mark. They've been really uplifting. What do we know about Isaiah? Well, we know he was a prophet. He's probably the most well-known prophet, isn't he? His name means the Lord saves. We know when he prophesied and to whom because of chapter 1, verse 1, and also because of the verse at the beginning of today's reading. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, four kings of Judah." But his ministry really began the year King Uzziah died. And we know that year to be 740 BC. He was talking to Judah whilst at the same time there were three other prophets, Amos, Hosea, and Micah, prophesying to the 10 tribes of Israel. So lots of prophecy going on at the same time. The same time, what was going on at that time? Well, times weren't happy. They were tough. It was a time of political turmoil. I think we know a bit about that. But what had happened is that the Syrian Empire on one side of them had become stronger, whilst at the same time, Israel and Judah had become weaker. So King Ahab foolishly made an alliance with the king of the Syrian army, or Syrian Empire, Tiglath-Pileser, his name was. And they fought Israel. What? So Judah was weakened because they were relying on the Syrians, and Israel was weakened because they had been fought against. Isaiah warned the king that this would result in Judah being taken into exile in Babylon. And sure enough, soon after, that is what happened. Why am I telling you all this? Well, I find it interesting, actually. But also, it illustrates a really important point. When God calls us, he calls us at a particular time to a particular task with a particular people. He doesn't call us in a vacuum. Isaiah, we know, was Amos's son. We also know he had a wife. They had two boys, two sons, at least. And he lived in very uncertain political times. But actually, he was an ordinary man called by an extraordinary God to serve his people in a particular way. You could say the same of Peter. You could say the same of Paul, too. But what about us? I wonder what God is calling you to. Perhaps you're not just wondering, what is God calling me to? What good am I anyway? In brackets. But also, how does God call? So let's have a look at these two very different callings. So first of all, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, says Isaiah. And of course, there's this amazing vision, similar to the one that we get in Revelation, actually, of the temple, the heavens, a seraph, more than one, two seraphs with six wings. Seraphs, by the way, are angelic beings, in case you didn't know. They were flying, they were calling to one another, and they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah's revelation of God was of the heavenly realms, surrounded by angelic beings. That revelation was vital to his calling. And you see, when God reveals himself to us, whether it be through a big vision or something in our everyday lives, it's vital for us to know that it is him, the God of all power, the God of all heavens, the God of all earth, who is calling us. Now, what about Peter's revelation? What about the moment that he recognizes that this Jesus isn't just a good teacher, a great teacher even, but something much more? It wasn't very dramatic. It was an ordinary day. Try to picture it, okay? We've already pictured certain things today, but try to picture it. There was Peter in his boat, sorting out his nets with his Andrew and John next to him. Jesus teaching, preaching. And then it got a bit uncomfortable because Jesus was being pushed by the crowd. So Jesus calls Peter along, says, "Let me jump into your boat. Could you just give me a bit of space here?" And he carried on teaching. Things are going well. Jesus is doing what Jesus does. And Peter is doing what Peter does. But then things change. Then when Jesus finishes speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out your nets. No, put out into the deeper water and then let down your nets for a catch." Well, Simon was not impressed. "Who does this man think he is anyway? I'm the fisherman here." So he answers, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." Listen, all the people in the Bible were not saints. And he would have been quite irritated by this whole thing, tired by the night. Anyway, they do it. And we know the results. So many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So many fish that even when he calls his friends across and they put fish into both boats, there was a risk that they would sink. And so the story ends with them going back, having a great feast, celebrating because now they're going to be rich, so much fish, and then going to sleep, and that's it. The next day they go fishing. Is that right? No. The story finishes with Simon Peter, first of all, falling on his knees at Jesus' feet and saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Not, "Thank you, that was a lovely catch. Thank you, that's really helpful." He suddenly realizes who Jesus is. And he feels so unworthy. I identify with that. We often feel unworthy, don't we, when faced with the holiness and the power of God. In that sentence, Peter uses, instead of the word teacher to address the Lord, he uses the word Lord. "Get away from me, Lord." He's changed his view. He's seen God. And so he repents. Actually, Isaiah did the same thing, didn't he? He saw God, and what did he do? He says, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips." Not only me, but actually I live amongst a people of unclean lips. And yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He, like Peter, when he sees the Lord, confesses his sin. This is more normal a reaction than we think. Now, what is God's response? So we've had the revelation. We've had the confession. What does God do? Well, with Isaiah, his lips were touched, weren't they, with a burning coal. And he heard the voice of God saying, not only was he forgiven of his sin, it had been cast into the depths, it had been blotted out. He hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, go and tell the people. And that was the beginning of his prophetic ministry. Following Peter's confession, what happened? Jesus looks at Simon Peter, and he says, do not be afraid. I love that. Don't be afraid of me. He says, from now on, you will be catching people. What does that mean even? Peter didn't know. We don't even quite know today. What does it mean to be a fisher of humans, of men, of women? So what did he do? Did he go and get on with his life and think nothing more of it? Of course not. We're told that once they'd brought their boats to shore, he and Andrew and John, left everything and followed him. The call comes in different ways. It might come in a different situation for each one of us. It's not one call either. Simon Peter was changed and transformed as he followed Jesus. He many times made mistakes, denied the Lord, did all sorts of things. But he followed and Jesus led. So what about for us? For you, for me? We live in a very different time, in a very different situation. But God still reveals himself. He still calls his people to follow him. For everybody, it's a different kind of calling. For me, the change of direction was not dramatic. It wasn't even, I can't even put a particular date on it. But what I can say is that I remember one day in February, 6 years ago, about this time, my habit is to go and sit in this particular chair. In the winter, I light some candles because it's dark. My cats come and join me, and I read whatever it is I'm going to read in the Bible that day, and I pray. Well, my family was going through a particular crisis. It was chronic illness, our daughter's chronic illness. We were really at a low ebb. And somewhere through this whole thing, through the sustaining and the strengthening of the Lord, I get this nudge, this whisper. God saying, ordination. And I'm saying, you must be joking. I am totally unable, unprepared, and unworthy. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody except for my husband, Robin, and we thought about it, and I agreed that I would go for a period of discernment. It normally takes about a year in the Church of England or more. I can't tell you how surprised that I am 6 years later to be here, standing here as a priest, exercising my priestly ministry. But I'm not any different to the wife, the mother, the teacher that I always was, except that God gave me a glimpse of who he was. And he called me to do something different in my life. And I responded to that call in little steps, bit by bit. And here I am. Nothing special, except for that God has called me to something different. What is God calling you to do today? It won't be what Isaiah was called to. It won't be what Peter was called to. It may be priestly ministry. But when you catch a glimpse of God's glory, his power, his holiness, you will have a different story to tell. Perhaps you've seen his glory already. What is he asking of you now? Or perhaps your prayer is that he would give you a fresh revelation of himself and of his power and of his glory. Perhaps he's calling you to repent, to ask forgiveness. We are all sinful people. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Or perhaps he's calling you to stay exactly where you are, with the same people and the same role, but to invite him into your life to be salt and light where you are. Or perhaps he's whispering and nudging you to a new place, to a new thing, to a new vocation. Maybe a pastoral ministry, maybe preaching, evangelist, priest. What are you going to say? Here am I, send me. How will you respond?
Let's just take a moment to listen to God. What is God calling you to today? How will you respond? I get the sense God's speaking to several people, and don't just leave here and brush it off, because this could be a real turning point for you today. Maybe you can come back in a week or two's time and tell us, share with us what God said. God is always good, and I am always loved. Let's say that together a couple of times. God is always good, and I am always loved. God is always good, and I am always loved. And my worth is not in anything in me. My worth is in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. Mark, lead us, if you would.